scripture reading indicates, we're still in Philippians 3 tonight. This morning, we started the topic centered around this piece of scripture on being focused. What it means to be focused spiritually, how we're to stay focused on Christ first and foremost, as Paul discusses in verses 10 and 11. We talked about the power of his resurrection, what that means for us, the fellowship that we have with his sufferings, and how we should be conformed to his death. And ultimately, by focusing our lives around those three things, we'll keep our focus on Christ. Paul, throughout Philippians, alludes to what a lifestyle like this leads to. And he comes to his final thoughts here in the latter part of chapter 3 and then in chapter 4. And he's summing up all of his writings here to the church of Philippi by talking about the ultimate goal. So tonight, as we start in verse 12 of Philippians 3, we turn our focus from Christ to our focus being on our reward, to our focus being on our eternal reward in heaven, the ultimate goal. We're going to go ahead and read verses 12 through the end of the chapter, verse 21, and then we'll come back and make some key applications from the text. Paul writing to the church of Philippi here, starting in verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And in verse 21, "who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Paul puts the focus directly on the hope that we all have as Christians and the eternal home with God. Backing back up to verse 12, notice his first key point is something that he has not yet attained. There in the first part of verse 12, "not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." When you're thinking about Paul writing this, the Apostle Paul, directly inspired by the Holy Spirit, we're probably in 60 to 62 AD at this point, meaning at the very back end of Paul's life. Paul has wrote the majority of his works to the different churches. He's probably in prison right now at Rome, and he has done so much for the church at this point. He has led so many people to Christ, being the main apostle, the main preacher of the message as well to the Gentiles, bringing them into the fold and into the promises that are found within Christ. But yet, Paul, here in verse 12, says, "not that I have already attained or am already perfected." What's that mean for us today? What mindset should we have when it comes to our service to Christ, especially when it comes to trying to reach other people and bringing them in to the kingdom? We need to have the same mindset as Paul. We need to have the same humility, knowing that every single day, this should be at the forefront of what we do, and we will never get it, or we'll never fully achieve what is possible while we're here on this earth, but it's always something that we're striving for until we're called home to our final reward. If Paul wasn't perfect, if Paul saw that he still had more to give for Christ, more to give for the purpose of spreading the gospel, that should be a great encouragement to each and every one of us, that no matter where we're at in our life, no matter what stage we're in, we still have a little bit more to give. And thank God for that. So that's the first main point as we're looking towards the goal, or we're looking forward to heaven, is that we always have more to give while we're still here on this earth. In the latter part of verse 12, Paul again, knows that he's not all that he could be. And then he moves on into verse 13 by saying, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Think about the weight when Paul is penning these words, forgetting those things which are behind. What's that mean for Paul? Think about Paul's background, Paul's life, where he comes from. A highly educated Jewish leader, learned from the feet of the Gamaliel, was a leader in the Jewish religion, was somebody that had authority, had power, but was ultimately persecuting the church and persecuting Christ. We know that he was even involved in killings, and that when he was converted, when people heard that Paul was going to be coming to them, the Christians were afraid. You see, Paul did not have the best background as Saul before he became a Christian. But what does he say here? He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. How should that encourage us? It should say, no matter where we have been in our lives, no matter the background, the difficulties, the struggles, the mistakes, the sinful nature that we may have been a part of before becoming Christians, we can leave that all behind because of the grace that we have in Christ Jesus. And Paul serves as the perfect example for that. And he's saying, you leave all those behind, you leave those things behind, that past lifestyle behind, and you reach toward this goal, ultimately heaven, reaching for it by living the lifestyle that we've talked about in both lessons today. Verse 14, he emphasizes, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. What does this sound like? It sounds eerily similar to the prayer that Jesus prays to God the Father before he's to be crucified. The last part of verse 16, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. The goal that Jesus had for his church were to be a people that were unified in everything that they did, word and in deed, teaching sound doctrine, thriving and striving to live a life that's reflected on what he tried, or what he was successfully lived and modeled for us, but ultimately working together. Harmony within the church amongst all believers, because we are all trying to go to the same place. The same mind, having the same rule, which is the Bible, the inspired word that's been left for us for all time, guiding us as a group of fellow believers, ultimately to that home in heaven. You see, the Bible is so perfectly narrated from start to finish. From the very beginning of the Bible, this was the goal of God. He gives us a perfect garden, a perfect place to live in. We take ourselves out of that relationship with God. God immediately notifies and tells us through Genesis 3:15 that there is a Savior coming. He promises that there will be one to redeem the world, to bring us back into this relationship, back into this unity and harmony. Jesus comes, preaches the same thing, prays for the same thing for his church, to have this unity and harmony, to be one with him and one with the Father. And then it's throughout all the epistles echoed in almost each and every one. You see, to be successful, we have to rely on each other. Jesus has made us one with him and one with the Father, but it's equally as important as we strive toward this goal of heaven for us to be one with each other. The common mind, guided by the same thing, the Word of God, looking forward to the same goal, heaven. Verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. One of the great benefits that we have today in the 21st century is the complete and revealed Word of God. You know, at this time, the Bible is still being put together. They couldn't just flip through a bound text like we have today for their convenience. Usually the way it worked is that letters would be circulated. So a letter would be sent to a church, it would be read out loud to everyone there, and then it would be passed from congregation to congregation. So the Holy Spirit's inspiration, the Holy Spirit's words would be given to each church that needed it. So Paul, when he says, note us as an example, he's literally telling them what you have seen from us and how we act and behave. For us, we have the privilege to see it all written out from start to finish, every inspired writer, Jesus himself, how he walked, and how Paul the Apostle himself walked his entire life through his recorded words. What a great privilege that is. So just as he tells them here to note how I walk as a pattern, we still have that same pattern. And it's a perfect pattern contained cover to cover in the Bibles that each of us hold in our hands. And it's the same pattern that we individually model our lives after, and it's the same pattern that us as the church come together, again, striving for unity and model what we do as a collective group as well. For as many at walk, of whom I have told you often, here in verse 18, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. So now you have the counterpart to what Paul is talking about. Paul gives the example of himself. Paul gives the example of his writing, something to look to, something to model your life after. But he warns those here in the first century, and it's really a warning for all time, even for us today, that there are going to be people who come with authority, who think they have the authority, who come with false teaching, who come to try to divide the church, who come preaching false things that we have to be weary of. And he says their end, ultimately, is going to be destruction. Their glory is their shame, because they've set their mind on earthly things. At this time, he could be talking about a number of different groups. He may be talking about the different Judaizing groups that are going throughout the area behind the missionary trips that he has been on, trying to bind the old law to the new law. He may be talking about pagan influences that are no doubt very influential in Philippi and the other cities in this area. But ultimately, he's saying that anybody that does not follow that sound pattern, the sound pattern that I've modeled for you, the sound pattern found within the Word of God, their end is destruction, and it's something that they had to be mindful of, and it's something that today we too still have to be mindful of. Why? Because verse 20 and 21, he sums it all up. For our citizenship is in heaven, whereas the false teachers, the ones that try to divide the church, who come in to divide and preach false things, their end is destruction. On the counterhand, our citizenship, our purpose, our goal, our mindset should be focused on heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. There's the ultimate reward, the ultimate promise that Paul gives to the church at Philippi and gives to us even to this day. Our citizenship is not of this world. The famous song, "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through," really rings true when you read a verse like this. You see, everything that we do here has one purpose. Everything we do here, just as Paul says, that he do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, in verse 13, we do the same one thing, and that's living a life that's completely modeled on Jesus and the words that he's left for us. Because the goal is the citizenship in heaven, as pointed out in verse 20. Notice what's going to happen in verse 21 as we conclude. We're going to be transformed. Our lowly body, our earthly essence, is going to be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. The reassurance there, as Paul concludes chapter 3 to the Philippians, is that Christ has complete control. He has complete control of this earth. He has complete control and judgment, and he has complete control and power to give us, his followers, that home in heaven one day. Today, it has been all about our focus, what our focus needs to be, what it should be. And if your focus hasn't been centered on Christ, hasn't been centered on following him, and it hasn't been focused on the ultimate goal of spending eternity with him, please don't leave here tonight without correcting that mindset. If you need to be baptized to become a Christian, to put him on, or we are promised to be raised a new man, to have a new life with that promise of eternal home, please come forward and do that. Maybe You have been baptized at one point. You have obeyed the gospel, but your focus has strayed. Please don't leave here tonight without correcting that as well. We're here for you in any way that you need.